I never imagined that a simple online message could unravel a dark, hidden network. But here I am, deep in a digital maze of offshore accounts and twisted financial scams that fund chilling acts hidden beneath layers of red tape. My investigation into a mysterious fan account has revealed a world where the boundaries between true crime and devotion blur into the shadows of justice. In a secret Discord server, I uncovered encrypted proof of a vast operation, a collective of digital predators turning fan adoration into a macabre performance where every interaction is part of a calculated, deadly script. The pursuit of justice tales has become a dangerous game, one where I'm not just an observer, but the main character in a killer's narrative. And I fear that with every new clue, I edge closer to my final horrifying chapter. Oh, by the way, if you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite platform so you never miss a story. Fangirl or fucking predator. They say serial killers don't write fan mail. But I learned the hard way. They do follow you. They do comment. They do study you. And sometimes, they write stories about you before you've even lived them. By the time I opened the red journal, I had already crossed the point of no return. The pages weren't just notes. They were plans, stories, scenarios, written like scenes from a screenplay. Some of the entries even used my name. Page after page, it described things that hadn't happened yet. My neighborhood, my daily walks, what I wore, what coffee shop I went to on Thursdays, what I ordered. I hadn't told anyone I was back to oat milk lattes, but there it was. At the bottom of the last entry, one line stood alone. Lily Marston, final episode in the Justice series, to be aired soon. I should have gone into hiding. I should have thrown the journal into the Hudson and changed my name. But that's not how obsession works. You don't walk away when you're afraid. You dig. I spent 3 straight days on my laptop, fingers locked to the keys, chasing every piece of digital thread connected to the account that sent me the journal. The trail was messy. First, I found a Reddit post under a different name, but the writing style was nearly identical. It linked to a private Discord server called The Meal Is Not Over. I requested access and was denied twice. On the third try, I posed as a graduate student doing research on postmodern serial killer fandom. They let me in. What I found in that server made my skin crawl. Hundreds of users, some openly idolized Jeffrey Dahmer, others traded edited footage of the Netflix series with commentary, pausing and rewinding the scenes of violence like they were critiquing a film school project. But what disturbed me the most was the way they spoke about new victims, as if they were fictional characters. It was inside that Discord server that I first saw the name of the offshore accounts. A user named Jonestown Admin posted a spreadsheet file titled Justice Payments. That was the file name. I clicked it. Dozens of transaction records, cryptocurrency transfers, Cash App exchanges, anonymous donations. Many were labeled sponsorship for art. Others simply said, final footage. I copied every address, every account ID. I traced them back through blockchain tools I had bookmarked from an old investigative project. What I found? Multiple offshore accounts tied to shell corporations registered in Belize and Cyprus. What does a serial killer need with offshore money? That's when it hit me. This wasn't one man. It was a business, a network, a sick, twisted production. These weren't random killings. They were funded. And I was the next season. I remember shaking as I spoke into my phone. Recording a new journal entry. My voice cracked, but I kept going. This is Lily Marston. Audio entry 2. This isn't a lone wolf. It's not some isolated freak hiding in a basement. This is something else. Something structured. There are names. There's money. There's support. I've uncovered financial scams disguised as content funding. Offshore accounts moving crypto into something dark. This is beyond obsession. This is entertainment as execution, murder as media, and I'm still the main character. By the end of the fourth day, I was hardly sleeping. My body ached. My eyes burned. But the more I learned, the worse the reality became. I found a link to a video archive hosted on an encrypted site. No logo. No interface, just a black screen and a menu titled Justice Submissions. The videos were short, between 1 and 5 minutes each, all had the same structure. A person, always alone, tied to a chair or locked in a room. Sometimes they were crying. Sometimes they were too drugged to cry. Sometimes they smiled like they knew the camera was watching. Each video ended with a title screen. White letters. Another tale for justice. That's when I remembered the phrase from the bio. Red tape. Bleached bones. All for justice. This wasn't a fan page. This was a manifesto. This was performance murder. I tried alerting the FBI. I called the cybercrimes unit, gave them the offshore account numbers, the server names, even some of the IP traces I had collected. No one followed up. Too complicated, too anonymous, too vague, they said. What I heard again and again was the same dead response. There's too much red tape. I knew the phrase well by now. It was their alibi and their camouflage. I realized I had entered what I now call the shadows of justice, the place where stories fall between headlines and bureaucracy, the space where financial crimes bleed into physical ones, where killers find cover under the systems meant to stop them. It was a place where everything looked just real enough to be fiction and just fake enough to be ignored. That night, I looked in the mirror and barely recognized myself. Pale, sleepless, worn down. But I also felt something else. Determined, because if I didn't finish this story, someone else would. And they would end it with my body.